Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. As always, I'm here with Andrew.
Hey, everyone.
And we're going to be talking about the first couple of days of the September Basho. So as a heads up, there will be spoilers. We'll be talking about who's in, who's not, who won, who lost, that kind of stuff. So if you're not interested in learning the first 2 days of results, feel free to pause until you've had the time to watch. Anyway, jumping right in, obviously big news, Hakuho and Kakaru pulling out.
Yeah, it's I'm not surprised. The reports over the last couple months were, I know Hakuho was dealing with a knee injury and ended up having surgery, so he didn't recover in time, and Kakaru was dealing with a back injury, and he said it was stiffening up on him. So I'm hoping that they both can make a comeback. I'm guessing Hakuho is probably not out, but depending on how Kakaru feels in a couple days, maybe he ends up coming back. But I mean, NHK, they do their English broadcasts, and they do the quick matches, and they had mentioned that it was the first time in 37 years that both Yokozuna had actually pulled out on the first day. And when that happened, it was Chiyono Fuji and Kita Noemi both went 0-0-15. So they were out for the entire tournament, never showed up. I'm hoping that Kakaru actually shows up for a couple matches, but if it's as severe as it is, you know, who knows how long they could be out.
Yeah, and I saw, we were kind of talking about this on one of the last episodes, was, you know, like, is there a chance that because of this, Kakaru is falling into the realm of needing to retire? As with Yokozuna's, you don't actually get demoted, but if you're not performing, you're kind of politely asked to retire.
Yeah, I think we referred to it kind of as the Casino Sato effect.
Yeah,
For us, that was the most recent Yokozuna was kind of forced to retire based on lack of performance and injury mainly. But I mean, yeah, looking at the last five tournaments, he's, you know, 0-1-14, 1-4-10, 12-3. He was a runner up in that tournament, but yeah, 0-2-13 last tournament, now 0-2. He's walking that line right now where, you know, he's got to show up maybe in November, and if he doesn't, we could be seeing the end of Kakaru.
And I still think, though, like, I mean, the headline I saw, it was obviously just, it was a random tweet that I happened to see that it was, you know, it was, they were like, oh, like next Basho could decide Kakaru's career, and he's not, he's obviously not here in this tournament at all, theoretically. I mean, he could show up. But I think that might actually be a telling, like, where he's at. If he does come in, even if it's for a few days, I think that kind of gives us a really good idea of where he's at in terms of, like, because I mean, I'm sure they share with the Yokozuna, like, hey man, you gotta like step it up, like, to some degree.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some side conversations where it's like, listen, you need to perform, or you know what's gonna happen.
I think if we see him this tournament, that might be a sign of maybe the Sumo Association talking to him or his stable or something like that.
Yeah, where, you know, they, hey, come back for a couple of days. At least that shows some kind of sign that, you know, you're still able to fight. But, yeah, who knows? Because, I mean, typically we see that with, you know, lower-ranked guys trying to salvage, you know, a record. Like, if they're 7-7 or, you know, they're trying to get 8 wins and they can, and then, you know, they're 8-4 and then they pull out for the rest of the tournament, or they try and come back. I think we saw that with Kota Nowaka last tournament. Where, you know, he was injured, he tried to come back the last 4 days to try and salvage his rank, losing the remaining days and then falling out into Juryo again. So with Kakaru, it would just be forced retirement.
I'm not an advocate for that kind of thing at all, personally. I think guys should sit out as many tournaments as they need to and then come back and be at full health, you know, in order to perform as best they can. I mean, obviously that's my opinion, doesn't matter.
I agree in the same sense where it's like, these guys are supposed to be your standard for fighting and consistency and like showing up. And, you know, when things start to get flaky, that's when you start questioning their ability to perform. Like, they're supposed to bring in the crowd, and, you know,
yeah,
like, they're the ones who have all the sponsorships during matches and things like that. So if these guys aren't able to show up for a tournament,
and comparing it to something like, you know, if again, I'll use the analogy of Tom Brady. Since we're most familiar with that, it's like if Tom Brady was, you know, was the only person on the Patriots that was any good, and you know, he like jammed his thumb one game, and people were, you know, were coming to see him. It's like if he just decided to say, like, I'm not going to play this game.
Yeah, he kind of fills the seats. And
If your
top tier guys aren't there, people aren't going to be interested.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, I think Sumo has a bright future. It's just, like, once again, we won't go down this road, but who knows who could be Yokozuna, and, you know, we could be entering a round without one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting time. And if you think about, obviously, comparing Hakuho to anybody is kind of ridiculous, but, you know, you think about Hakuho pulling out, and you're like, oh, yeah, it doesn't even matter. But I feel like in recent memory, he's pulled out not just as many times, but close, I would say, maybe.
He pulled out late last tournament. He always typically pulls out after he's lost the few, where he's like, I already know I'm going to lose, so I might as well just pull out. But I mean, he's only pulled out three of the last six tournaments. Which, I mean, three of the six sounds bad, but two of them were pretty much full tournaments. One of them was the last 3 days that he pulled out of. And then you have this one. So, yeah, if you throw this one in there, then, you know, it's – but at least he's putting up numbers, too, like 14-1, 13-2. He's, like, putting up decent numbers.
Yeah, when he is back, he's definitely performing. It's kind of funny how you just – I don't know. I think of it – like, you know, Hakuho pulling out didn't even really, like, trigger a problem in my mind. I'm like, oh, yeah, he pulls out. But obviously with Kakeru, it kind of speaks to, you know, their varying level of popularity and not necessarily skill, I guess. But,
yeah,
like, just their performance history, I guess. Interesting.
Yeah, with Hakuho, you always expect that bounce back. With Kakeru, you're like, oh, now it's, like... like, he could be retiring, but we haven't mentioned Hakuho having to retire. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah. So then we have going into day two as well. Asuyama losing day one and day two, which I think is probably second biggest news in my personal opinion of the tournament so far.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to, like, because he just got promoted into the better of the two Ozeki ranks, and I mean, last tournament he was only 12-3. So you take two losses in the first 2 days, you have one loss for the next 13 days in order to maintain the same record. And that starts you a step behind in terms of trying to stay at Ozeki. Like, you don't want to go Karuban after this is your only second Ozeki tournament, and now you're trying to stay in that rank.
Yeah, and you lost to Magashira 1. Let's see, I'm looking it up here. He lost to... yeah, Magashira won, and then...
he also lost to Takanosho.
Right.
So, yeah, he lost to Endo, and Komusumi won, and then lost to Takanosho, who was also Magashira 1.
So, yeah, I mean, at least one of the losses is out of the Senyaku. Like, at least it's not necessarily one that's a guaranteed win, but I feel like you can't lose any Magashira. You can't lose to a Magashira-ranked wrestler as an Ozeki.
Yeah.
Because you've got all those the upper ranked guys to get through still.
Yeah, he's gonna get through all the Senyaku guys. But once again, you have you know, you're missing two Yokozuna, so at least there's that portion.
You don't have to fight Hakuho.
Correct. Asunoyama is actually now the highest ranked individual. So, you know, if there is any kind of last day drama where they may have to throw him up against somebody, they might not go with him depending on his record. If he's not performing well, it could just be a cakewalk for somebody. And he's got a tough day three, though. He's going against Taranofuji, who is also 0-2. So there's a chance Asunoyama goes to 0-3. And likely, just as another side note to everyone, by the time this comes out, day three might already be over. So we have no knowledge of day three, what actually happens yet.
Taranofuji, though, I mean, Asunoyama's two losses looked not super great. He didn't fight very well, but neither did Taranofuji, honestly.
He didn't look good.
he looked a little uncomfortable.
He looked like he was fighting better opponents than he did last tournament.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's getting challenged again. So
yeah, and that's what we mentioned either in last episode or two episodes ago when we did the wrap up was we knew he was going to get a big jump, and then trying to figure out who he was fighting. You know, last tournament, the first 2 days he had Kotoyuki, who just got back in from Juryo at market share 17, and then he had Kotoweko at market share 16. And this tournament, you know, he's gotten Mitake Umi, who's looked really good, but we'll get to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had Taka Keisho, who's also another Ozeki. So I'm not surprised that Taro Nofuji has he has two losses, and that's the total he had last tournament as well. It's another guy who's close to his total from last tournament as well.
Yeah. Mitake Umi's looking good. You mentioned Mitake Umi. His two wins looked really pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good to see. Hopefully he can string together a few more, because he can get, once he's down, he can kind of get down. So hopefully he can make it through his eight and get those first.
Yeah. I mean, if he gets, you know, 11, 12 wins. And depending on who he beats, I mean, at this point, it's hard to, really only two guys are above you. So there's no like beating Yokozuna, it's where it's two wins kind of situation.
Yeah.
But depending on if someone's on a hot streak, like 8-0 when he beats him on day 9 or something like that, he could be looking at an Ozeki promotion.
I wonder how that'll play into it. I mean, there's no Yokozuna here. So yep. I think basically it's going to come down to just raw wins.
Probably.
He's going to have to put the numbers up instead of, there's no leeway on like a, 32 wins or 33 wins or something.
Yeah. Unless there's someone who's like performing really well and they're kind of near the top of the pack at like a 1 or 2 rank or in the Senyaku and he beats them. But realistically, Mitake Umi is supposed to beat these guys. So there's really no, you beat a Yokozuna and you get essentially two wins for it. So we'll see what his total is at the end and whether he gets promoted.
Yeah, I feel like if Taka Keisho can keep it going all throughout the tournament and then Mitake Umi's going, like that's a kind of win that would probably equal a Yokozuna win essentially. Mm-hmm. Like especially like you said, if he's performing really well.
Yep.
Like if Taka Keisho is like 12-1 or something on, day 14.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a playoff, or not a playoff, but they're both that wins losses kind of situation. I feel like that would equal just beating Hakuho straight up or something, mm-hmm. But and then Shodai, two wins going into day two, which is good to see. Sekiwake is looking good. The upper rank guys are they're looking pretty sharp.
Yeah, besides Asanoyama and Okinomi, everyone's has at least one win. I know we're only 2 days into it, but starting 0-2 is tough. I mean, you're down. It's just hard. I feel like it's so hard to bounce back from two losses already.
Yeah.
Especially
if they're bad. Again, bad loss. I don't want to harp on it, but Asanoyama's losses didn't look good. They looked very not like, because they went, sometimes the sumo fights are over in 5 seconds or something like that, but his fights went longer and he usually ends up, at least recently, on top of those kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fight will go for 5 to 10 seconds. It's a bit of a struggle. He gets to the edge, but turns it around, that kind of thing. And I feel like he was in those situations, but wasn't able to really pull it out.
Yeah, he wasn't able to get those finished.
I don't know if you saw the same thing or...
I probably saw. I'd have to go back and just rewatch them, but it's those fights they should add.
When Daisho losing actually was kind of surprising. He lost on day one, I believe, which it's kind of not necessarily a surprise, I suppose, but again, a match that he's got to win.
Yeah, I mean, and Tamawashi, I believe, was a former Ozeki as well. Could be wrong. I am wrong. So he's close to Ozeki, I believe. Yeah. I mean, he's one of Yusho though, so he does kind of have that experience. It's a tough loss. Once again, someone you shouldn't lose to.
So let's jump out of the Senyaku here a bit.
Yeah.
And, start head down to like the top five Magashira. So of course we've talked a little bit about Turner Fuji already. That's kind of surprising that he's 0-2. But at the same time, like you said, he's fighting upper rank guys. But
yeah, I'm hoping that he doesn't like pull out with an injury mysteriously. Like, you know, when he was fighting well, he never really did that. I don't believe he had a history of ever really pulling out after going down a certain amount.
Yeah.
And I don't think he will, just because he's worked so hard to get back up. I can't imagine him pulling out because he's 0-2 or
something like that. It's still dicey though. Like, if he's prone to injury, like, yeah, that's the hardest thing about sumo though. It's like, he's known he took a really bad injury and got sent way, way, way down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, where is that in his head? You know, is he,
yeah,
all right, if I'm injured, I need to pull out and get better and then come back? Or do you try and fight through it? I don't know. It seems like a pretty big mental battle to have.
Yeah, it's especially for him, because this was mentioned before, but he's talked before and he's like, yeah, I'm missing like part of an ACL, and like he's almost just pieced together at this point. So yeah, anytime you go down and you start thinking like, oh, is my lower body hurting a little bit? Like, now it's not, now it's a mental game, more so than it usually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, and again, Asanayama didn't have a great couple of matches, so maybe it's an opportunity for him to
bounce back, hopefully,
and get back on track.
I'm concerned because like Taro Fuji has had a history of doing potentially a Henka. You know, we know Koshiyuku and his history with that, and that's why our feelings are the way they are about Taro Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm concerned about, is like a day three Henka from Taro Fuji in order to get that 1-2 victory. But like doing that to Ozeki, ugh.
Yeah, that would be it hasn't stopped him before.
Correct. He's done it when he needed it more than the other guy, and he was desperate. So
yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he Henkas Asanayama.
Yep. Well, so hopefully this is a future prediction that maybe does get Henka'd actually. So we'll see.
All right. So then you got Takano Sho. It's going 1-1 standard for him, I feel like. Hokuto Fuji 0-2, which is kind of a bummer. I do like Hokuto Fuji.
He's definitely a fan favorite, and starting 0-2 once again, it's rough.
I feel like a guy like Hokuto Fuji would be one that might have a hard time getting out of an 0-2 hole. You know what I mean? He's climbed up, and he's been Komasubi before, so he's no stranger to fighting guys up here, and isn't really ever, he's not gone any lower than 5 in the last 6 tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So he can definitely handle the upper rank guys, but
yeah, it's just that average record of like 9-6, 8-7.
Yeah.
That will keep him there.
Yeah. And he hasn't actually, the last 5 tournaments, he didn't start 0-2, but he's broken even. He's won the first 2 days, or no, sorry. Yeah, he's only won the first 2 days once in the last 5 tournaments.
Yeah, you can even go further back to like January 2019. That's the last time he's won 2 of the first. So,
yeah,
so, I don't know. We'll see if he bounces back.
Yeah. Then we get to, again, not going to just rattle off the Banzuke here.
Correct. But I did want to mention, I know you're a big fan of Terence Yoshi in the salt throwing. So.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's what I was going to jump to next, with his 5 pounds of salt. Terence Yoshi, who I've kind of been like, oh, yeah, I know he's the guy that throws salt. But I actually paid attention to his last 2 fights, and they looked really good. He's pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? He's got a lot of technique.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like a guy that's going to – I don't feel like he's going to yurikiri you every single time, push you out of the ring.
Yeah. No, I don't, he's a pretty technical fighter, and I want him to do well. I've been – since he came up in March of last year, I've wanted him to continue to perform well. And I don't know if it is just the salt throwing, that there's something about those individuals who do such a unique thing that I'm like, you know what? I want you to do well.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how we got into watching Koshugiku, because he did that back bend and you're like, you know what? You're different. I like you.
Yeah. He brings something new that's interesting. You know what I mean? It's like, I always think of like the movie Happy Gilmore. You know what I mean? Like, You know, like he started playing golf and like, you know, obviously it's a movie and it's not real, but like mm-hmm. I'd probably be into golf if there was some crazy lunatic hockey player who was like, you know what I mean? Like it's in that kind of thing with how strict sumo is like, that's the equivalent of a lunatic hockey player in some cases, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not that I'm surprised, cause I don't think they would ever say like, you're throwing too much salt. Mm-hmm. But we have seen a little bit like Kotoyuki, for example, like that he used to do the mm-hmm. after matches, and they were like, hey, now that you're your higher ranked guy, you need to relax with that.
I think Hakuho had beef with that too, I think, because he got into the upper ranks and was fighting Hakuho, because he did it before the fight. He would, you know, right before like, they grabbed the salt, it was the last time he would do like the hoo, and mm-hmm. then, or right before they actually went to the Tachi Eye, I think he'd
like get the salt, throw it in, then he'd go over for like the final kind of clean down, you know, wipe down with a towel, and you know, he'd like put his hand in his face and like whoo, and and then it's funny, once he stopped doing that, his performance went down. So I don't know if that was like his way of getting psyched up, but I don't know if they'll end up having Taratsuyoshi, you know, calm down with the salt throwing, because it is a blessing thing.
Yeah, so it's like a ceremonial thing. It's pretty
correct.
I'd be surprised if they would step in and do something like that.
He throws a lot where I'm surprised, like, also no one's ever been hurt. Like, I feel like it takes away from the grip on the ring, and he throws a ton. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. But yeah, so Teresioshi's up 2-0. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Going down the Banzuke a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll just mention, like, Tochinoshin's 0-2. I'm mm-hmm. always a fan for some reason of him. Struggling potentially. He did try and hank on day two, and I was like, it seems kind of early. Day two of the tournament, and you're already trying to hanker people. At least he kind of side shuffled. I don't know if it was a full fledged hanker, but
yeah, I think I remember seeing that too and being like, I was, it was enough that I at least questioned it. And I was like, okay, it wasn't, if I'm questioning, it wasn't a full blown hanker. So
yeah, and then, like two other like spotlight guys who I think have looked better, and I don't know if that has to do with like, you know, they're training this off month or anything like that. But I know NHK was referencing that Kiribayama has been working with Kakaru, despite him being injured. He's been helping him kind of train a little bit. And the same thing with Takayasu. He's been training with Kasino Sato, who used to be stablemate, and I believe he's now a coach in that stable. So, you know, having a chance to train with a former Yokozuna is pretty good. So,
yeah, that'll definitely help you out. Mm-hmm. Enho, everybody's favorite little guy, is 0-2.
and it's crazy because he actually lost weight too. He's even smaller. And listening to the broadcast, they were concerned that that's going to come back and bite him, because he actually went down 4 kilos, which is roughly 9 pounds, like 8.8 pounds. So right, 9 pounds. So he's lost 9 pounds. And for me, I kind of think he needs to put weight on, but it needs to be more muscular than that. If he's going to compete, because he got tossed in his first match.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He didn't look good in the second match against an Osho either.
Nope.
It's the fold him up like an accordion strategy.
And the first fight, like, as soon as the Tachi Eye happened, his knees bent backwards, and I was like,
that didn't look good, yeah.
No. so he's lost weight in the off month.
I was watching, I was like kind of looking up the weights and everything like that. And he went against, was it Oyama, the fight before on day one? Let me check really quick. Enho. No, that was Wakataka Kage on day one. Who was he fighting on day?
Yeah, Oyama had Kagayaki, and he also had Wakataka Kage.
Tokushoryu. Okay, so it was probably Tokushoryu, who was a rather large fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like 200 pounds less than him or something. Like
it's surprised when we explain to people, and like, yeah, there's no weight class. Like, you can be 150 pounds going up against a guy who's 400. And I think people are kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems
unsafe, if nothing else.
I'm also surprised it just hasn't been more injuries from just like weight alone. That it's like, God, this guy's huge and he's falling on top of you. Like, he's just, because you're a small guy, he outweighs you. But
Onosho though showing up is good.
He I was happy when he got his first win, just because he didn't get his first win last tournament until day 14. And then when he went to 2-0, I was like, okay, this is kind of what I expect from him, but it's still in that mid-range where you could get some good guys and some bad guys that are, you know, he's competing against. So I'm just happy that he has two wins, because last tournament he was 0-13 before then going to 2-13.
Yeah, I think the halfway mark is going to be a real
big
deal for him, where he's at after 8 days.
Yeah, if he's at least 500, which I think everyone strives to be, it'll be okay. But if he's kind of, he's like 3-5 or 2-7 or 2-6, mm-hmm. who knows?
Yeah, he needs to keep this momentum going, I think, in the next few days, and I think he'll be fine. But
yeah.
But then, now that we're in the lower portion of the Banzuke here, we got the Sada Nozaki guys.
Yep, the group of them hanging out together, usual. Yep.
The Koto crew is, they're not doing super great this tournament.
No. And, Koto Iko being 0-2 is kind of a surprise, because he performed really well last tournament.
Mm. His losses have looked shaky as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, especially day two, I think he just got like pushed down, and it was like, that's very not like him to go down that quick. Koto Shoho's looked good at 2-0. He was 8-7 last tournament, so I'm hoping for another.
Yeah, he's actually looked really good.
Yeah.
And he's gone against, Kaisei's a veteran, so it's good. It's good to see. That was a really good win for him, I think.
Kaisei's a big guy, too.
Yeah, Kaisei is a huge guy. And then you got, who do you go against on day one? So he went against Meisei, or Meisei, I think.
Yeah, Meisei and Kaisei, which is actually the same two people that Koto Shokiku went against, but in reverse order. Mm. And, I think that was, for us, the most devastating news.
Koto Shokiku looked a little...
Came up a little lame.
Came up a little lame is the term I was going for there. Yeah,
he looked like he dominated the first day.
It was a really good one on the first day.
Yeah, I thought he was in full control. And the thing I noticed, first of all, one, it's against Kaisei, and I think he's like 13-2 against him. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an expected win. But what I noticed is, one, Koto Shokiku didn't have tape on his legs. Mm-hmm. Typically, if I remember correctly, he's usually at least got his, like, it's not his like kneecap wrap, but everything like around it has some kind of tape on it.
Yeah, usually has tape there, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't for day one, day two, and then I thought he was in control of the second fight, and I think he was, until he just came up lame. And
yeah, something happened to that left leg of his. It, like, he started hopping on the right, and I don't know. Yeah, hopefully it's just a cramp. But
because he walked over there, and it wasn't like, he didn't look like he had like a limp, like it was something snapped, or hopefully it's nothing like major, like a pull or something like that.
He didn't really bow all that much either. Mm-hmm. He just kind of like did like a quick head nod and backed out. So
yeah, and obviously, like having been to the Kokugikan in September, know how hot it can get in that building.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just a cramp, dehydration, something like that.
Because
nothing looked obvious.
It didn't look like that. His knee twisted anyway, or like he like jammed it or anything like that. He kind of just stopped putting weight on it suddenly. So
yeah, and I think another reason I enjoy watching all of his matches so much, and just his tournaments, is he's only pulled out three times since 2014.
Yeah.
So 2016 he pulled out once, 2018 he pulled out once, and that was the last time he did it, was 2018. Like, even just for like a single day. Actually, in 2019, it looks like he did have one day where he didn't show up, but then he did come back the next day. But like, he's kind of like an Iron Man. Like, he's always fighting. So that's why I'm hoping he bounces back on day three.
And yeah, it would be unfortunate if he didn't come back, because that's Juryo territory, I think, for him.
If he doesn't come back for the rest of the tournament, absolutely. I mean, we saw what happened with Koto Nowaka, and his... he was like 5-7-1 or something like that, 5-7-2. And we saw him drop like 7 or 8 ranks down into Juryo. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they would give him the benefit of the doubt, being a former Yusho winner and Ozeki and things like that, where maybe they just drop him down to 17. But if he's like 1-1-13, I don't know. But we'll see, because tomorrow Koshigiku has Chiyotaru, which I think has been a common matchup for him lately.
Yeah. That's there's no pushover either, so.
No, he's 2-0 as well, so he's performing well. We'll see what happens with Kota Shigiku.
Yeah. Let's see. Then we got
a couple young guys, too, down here.
Yeah, like Ichinojo's back. He's not a young guy, but he's definitely a veteran of the Makuuchi. He didn't look good on day one, but his day two win was pretty good.
Yep.
I guess Shoho's on. Who's, again, veteran. Been around, but 0-2 right now.
Yeah, the two new guys that are down here who came up from Juryo. I believe both of these guys were also part of that six-way playoff they had. Mm-hmm. So Tobi Zaru, sitting at market share of 14, is 2-0. And Hoshoru, at market share of 16, are both their first upper-ranked tournament.
So I'm looking – sorry, maybe I'm just reading this wrong. But so I'm looking at sumogames.de, basically, or sumo.db, as we call it. So I'm looking at the Banzuke for tomorrow, or the match list for tomorrow, and I still see Abi listed here. I'm guessing maybe that's just incorrect, but
for matches, I always end up going to the sumo.or.jp.
Because I was just trying to see who Tobi Zaru is fighting.
Yeah, because Abi will get all. He's going to be 0-15.
I was just curious if they were just really just throwing, since he's suspended, not necessarily pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
If they were just giving walkover wins to everybody, but
no, I think they'll play it the same way as like Ishiura is out with an injury. Kakaru and Hakuho, they all get the 0-0-2. But I'm surprised they would even have Abi ranked. But technically, it's still part of the demotion of him for five tournaments.
Yeah, yeah. Tobi Zaru's fighting Kota Shoho tomorrow, which actually I think will be a really good fight. I wonder how many matches those guys have had against each other. Because they probably fought in Juryo, I would imagine. Kota Shoho and Tobi Zaru. So I think that'll be a really good young guy match.
Yeah, so against Kota Shoho, he's 1-2. So they faced each other a couple times, I'm guessing, when they were down in Juryo together. Let's see. Yep, Juryo. Yep, both in Juryo at the time.
Yeah, they're both 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
Just seeing if there was a time in recent memory when they fought each other. I'm not seeing that, but yeah, it should be. Yeah. I think that's going to be a good fight of the young guys on day three.
Yeah, they fought in March of this year.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah. They've actually fought each other March, January, and December. Going back into 2019, so they've kind of come up together. Mm-hmm. Even though Tobi Zaru's he's 28 and Kota Shoho is only 21, which blows my mind that we're entering in the realm of Rikishi born in the 2000s.
Yeah.
So
I think that's like the highlight, I think, of the bottom five tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should be a fun match.
Then you get, I think Kota Shigiku and Chiyotaru would be a good, veteran match. One to keep an eye on for sure. Mm-hmm. And see if Enho can get out of his 0-2 slump, or if he just gets folded up like an accordion again.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan was with his weight loss. Who knows? I mean, he's kind of that guy that bounces up and down the Banzuke for as long as he's been up here. But yeah, he just hasn't looked good, like not even technical at all. And that's kind of what he's known for, like getting in low and grabbing a leg or anything like that. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah. And we got, so I'm going to dip down even further because we know some guys down in the Juryo division here.
Yep.
But Ikioi. It's 1-1 in Juryo, which is not good at Juryo 1.
No.
Kojima Waka is 1-1. We saw him last tournament had to pull out, I believe.
So he had pulled out with, I want to say it was a lower body injury. I don't remember exactly. I want to say like it was an ankle or something, but he was 4-6-5. Tried to come back on day 14 and 15, lost both of those matches, which then resulted in his demotion from market share 13 down to Juryo 2.
Yeah, so he's in rough shape. We get Kota Nawaka, yeah, like you just said. Kota Yuki's down there, that's what I meant to say.
Yep,
Kota Yuki's
Koryuki's
down
there.
there. We were just
Yeah.
talking about him. He's also 1-1 down there. Juryo's looking pretty rough. A lot of 1-1 guys in Juryo.
Yeah, I
A few
mean,
2-0s, but
yeah, I will say there is one guy that I have been keeping just a name reference to. A lot of good Twitter accounts out there, and a lot of people apparently are a big fan of Nishiki Fuji down in the bottom of Juryo right now at Juryo 13. That's been a name that a lot of people have been throwing around, so we'll see. And he's a part of the same stable that I believe Haruma Fuji was part of. So they apparently don't have a ton of people coming through the door, and I don't know if that has anything to do with what happened with Haruma Fuji or not. But their stable's pretty limited in the number of participants right now, or not limited in terms of like legality, but just in terms of people that are in the upper ranks.
Nishiki Fuji.
Yeah,
Got it.
Nishiki Fuji is apparently a name that we should keep our eye on. A lot of people like him.
So I think that's a good summation, I think, of where's it's tough after just a couple of days, and since
Yeah.
we're behind in all the news and all that kind of stuff. But I think we'll start with, so after 2 days and knowing that there's no Yokozuna, do you change? I don't even remember what our last predictions were, but
I thought I remember you saying you thought Asanoyama was
I
gonna.
was thinking Asayama, he
Yeah.
would have been what I would have gone with before, but now that that's that after 2 days, any hot takes?
Hot takes after 2 days. Let's see. I still think Mataki was gonna perform well. I think I had him as my prediction as someone who I thought could win. Especially with no Yokozuna. I mean, this is his chance to really take it. But any hot takes? Oh boy. I don't know if I have any real hot takes.
I mean, I think I it's got to be Mataki-Yumi's tournament to take now. Like,
Yeah.
it's just got to be. He's already got two championships under his belt. Like, you have to take this if you want to be an Ozeki. I think he has to
Yeah.
win.
I think
Like, it's
so.
what it
I
is.
mean, he can get in if he gets his 33 wins and no tournament win. Like, it's not as much as like an Ozeki into Yokozuna. But yeah, I mean, if he wants to get that Ozeki rank, he needs at least 12. And a win would definitely solidify him for Ozeki for next tournament. And I mean, I think Shodai might also have a chance to get into Ozeki promotion as well. No,
He's
not
a
quite.
little, so it's
He's only got
close
19.
though. That's
He'd have
pretty
to
good
go.
numbers.
He'd have to get 14 wins. I mean, he could start something with double digits this month. He could probably start something.
Endo's looking good, and he fights Endo tomorrow. Shodai, that is.
Yeah.
So that'll be it, it's actually, I always feel like I'm always hating on Endo, but he's actually looking pretty good this tournament despite being 1-1,
Yeah,
actually.
I think it's because the expectation for him for as long as we've been watching is for he was going to be like the thing, and he was like a fan favorite. So I think that's why we're like, because I don't dislike him at all, and but I think it's just we're tough on him because the expectation for him is so high.
And he's from, like you said, from Japan. He was going to be the next rising Japan sumo
Yeah, I
superstar.
will say I guess a hot take, and it shouldn't be, but I think Takayasu gets double digits. And I think Kiribayama performs really, really well as well. And I want to say Kota Shokifu gets his 8 wins.
I think
But
my
that's
hot
just
take
me.
is Onosho gets 10 wins.
Ooh, that's a
And
good one.
sends him back up, gets in the Magashira 1, Magashira 2 rank.
Yeah, and then in November, he's going to come back down, and it's just going to be this up and down game with him. I hope not. I really like Onosho, and I want him to do well.
And again, if it's not really, again, not a hot take, but I want to see Takakesho just get 11, 12 wins. Stability at Ozeki is what we're. So we've been craving for a long, long time now.
Yeah, and he was the good thing about that is it's he got his 8 wins last tournament, so he's not in any like Karuban status. So if he does perform poorly, it's not like he's dropping down and has that one shot to get back up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want him to do well.
And of course, Asanayama, I want him to do well too. But
yeah,
his two losses looked bad. They just didn't look like good losses for him.
And so. Yeah, especially since he hasn't faced, like, once again, it's only 2 days. So, I mean, we're way ahead of ourselves, but he faced one Senyaku guy. You know, he's got Terunofuji on day three. So he's going to face Mataki Omi. So you're possibly looking at least four losses, depending if he loses tomorrow to Terunofuji, and then if, you know, he's going to face Mataki Omi, Takesho. But he's an Ozeki. He should be able to perform well.
Terunofuji will be a good indicator, I think, depending on how well he does.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, like, yeah, Terunofuji, obviously, winner last tournament. You know, he's riding high, even though he's 0-2, he's still a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying earlier, potential Hanka possibility there.
Yeah,
Asanayama gets Hanka'd. I'm worried about his mental state, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a real test, I think, at that point of like the Ozeki. Can he dig himself out of the 0-3 hole if it happens?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to tune in for the rest of the week.
I think this will be a really good test for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he hasn't started out 0-2 in the last six tournaments, just looking at it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So he's used to coming out, winning at least a couple, and then going on.
Yeah.
Last tournament he won 9 in a row at Ozeki. So it's not like he's any stranger to beating the upper ranked guys.
Yep, the 2-0-2, I think, is probably the biggest surprise so far.
I would say so far, 2 days in, as surprised as you can be, other than, you know, obviously the 2 Yokozuna news.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Asanayama, you tell me Asanayama is going 0-2 day before the tournament starts. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd believe you.
Exactly, yeah. No, that's a surprise so far.
All right, well, I think we'll wrap this one up. And we'll be following up in the middle of the week. We'll check in. We'll do our ridiculous predictions and hot takes again.
Yep.
And I just want to thank everybody for listening.
Take care.